Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest episode of The Confident Hypnotherapist. I hope you're healthy and happy wherever you are in the world. Today, I have Joshua Peters joining me, and Joshua is from X Factor Hypnosis. I got that right, have I, Josh?
You got it right.
Great, fantastic. Joshua, what I found really interesting about you when I was looking into your background, and I don't know if this is connected to you as a hypnotist at all, but you were doing stunt shows for many years. Is that right?
Oh, you really did dig, didn't you, Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm my own one man kind of, you know.
Yeah, I absolutely did. For about 10 years, I mean, I still periodically will do these types of shows, but I did a sideshow and escape artist act that I had created really for small town festivals. Like, that was kind of my target market. I lived in a small town in the time, and I was in Wisconsin, which is filled with small towns in the Midwest here in the United States. And I knew if I wanted to do this kind of show, then that was what I'd have to have my target be. But the interesting thing that you bring up, Lawrence, is I have found that one of the reasons that I was so interested in sideshow arts and this type of show was because each thing that I'm doing is, it was teaching myself to get past fear. Ultimately, like, that's what it was. And when I started learning this show and learning these acts, I was pulling myself out of a hole. I had spent about 15 years digging for myself. And I needed to get past a lot of fears at that time. So I like to think that I was metaphorically training myself to get out of these, to get past this fear, and also kind of letting an audience experience that in real time as well.
I kind of took it as the mindset that you would need to be a successful performer in that space. You know, you wouldn't necessarily have yourself put into a straitjacket and wrapped up in chains just to see how you might go. There has to be this kind of belief behind all that you're going to be able to successfully get out of that.
Well, there is that. Like, you have to know that you're going to get out of it. And you do know, like, there are, it's not exactly tricks, but there are techniques that you know how to use that most people don't, that are what let you get out of these types of things. So yeah, you have to have that right mindset. And there's been times when there's that doubt that comes in, like, oh, is this going to be the time? And you can't let that hold you back. You still have to refuse to listen to that voice and you know, still escape from the jacket.
How did you do that back then when you did have those, I imagine, infrequent moments of that doubt creeping in? How did you move past that at that point?
Well, it's pretty easy when you're in front of an audience, and it's either the show is going to happen and I'm going to get out, or this is going to be a really long show. I had one moment where I had a malfunction with my straitjacket, and it is something that had happened a couple of times before, and I hadn't fixed it, but I had a malfunction and there was a buckle that I couldn't release. And the only thing that I tried to get it to go, and I couldn't. And so I went up to the person who had helped put me in, and to the side, I just asked her to release that one thing, and she did. And then I finished the show, and everybody cheered. And, you know, it's still an entertaining show, whether or not that one thing happens. But what I did was I fixed the jacket. So that would never happen again.
From the experience, and you adapted moving forward.
Right? It was very embarrassing.
I think that self-reflection is useful in a lot of things.
Yeah, for sure.
And so you went from a career that was in creative and, you know, these kind of stage shows, moving across into hypnosis.
Yeah.
What kind of provoked that trend? Because you were in the creative world for quite a while there. What was it that saw you move across into the world of hypnosis and hypnotherapy?
Well, like I said, I spent about 10 years digging myself out of that hole. And that was while I was doing this performing. I had found, I knew about hypnosis, and I knew about it for a long time, since about the age of 13, when I found a book in my school library and learned how to do some really basic stuff. But it stuck with me. And throughout my life, there were these moments where it would come back. There would be an opportunity to do some training. So when I was learning the stunt acts, I had an opportunity to train as a performing hypnotist. But I didn't take it. I wasn't really in the right place or time for me to do it. There was another opportunity for me to train as a hypnotherapist, which was pretty interesting to me because hypnosis just was really, I was really curious about it. But again, I wasn't in the right space. In 2014, I had moved to Minneapolis, St. Paul area, and I was in this place of really changing my life and deciding finally, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do when I grow up? And I ran across hypnosis training again. I had the time. I was in the right place. Like everything was just lining up. And so when I connected with the trainer, he and I really clicked, and it just seemed like a no-brainer. And funny enough, I was doubting, is this the right thing for me? And my wife, not realizing what she was doing, she had me close my eyes and imagine myself in the future doing this type of work. And how does it feel? And what is this kind? Is this like feeding my soul? Like she took me into a hypnotic process, not even realizing she was doing that. Mm. And I realized that if I could make this my life's mission and help other people, you know, get unstuck in a quicker way than it took for me, that would be the most empowering way I could possibly think of to live my life. And so I jumped in and I did the training and I just started working with people right away and haven't stopped.
What were you like when you first started out as a hypnotist? Were you brimming full of confidence in the same way you might have been as, you know, the stunt performer, or did you find that this was perhaps a little bit more challenging for you?
Definitely the opportunity of being in front of crowds and, you know, having to turn on that, at least the look of confidence. I may not have always been confident in front of a crowd. I may have been scared that who knows, you never know how a show is going to go. Mm. And I did a lot of street style shows too. So I had to create an audience out of nothing, which is a whole different kind of beast. But I had built a muscle of turning on what looks like confidence, which is really important to a client. They want to feel like you're confident. They need to know that you know what you're doing, or at least it seems like you know what you're doing. And so that's what I would do. I would just kind of turn on that muscle that I had. You know, and I worked with, when I was first working with clients, I was also in my training. So I would do 3 weeks. So I do three sessions with them. The first one I would do real basic one that I had learned in my classes. And then I would go back to my mentor, like, okay, we did the first one and this kind of stuff. Like, what do I do now? And he'd like, well, you do this thing and this and this and this. I'm like, great, thanks. And so then I do that. And so I had a great kind of opportunity to get feedback really quickly and really learn a lot from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other things that you were doing during that time? You know, obviously you had you had a great first session set up. So you kind of knew what you were doing for that very first session. You had the supportive mentor there who was able to be offer up ideas and perhaps work with you on where it needs to go. Was there anything else that you're doing at that time that helped you to continue to define who you are as a hypnotist?
Well, I started out really focused in, as a lot of us do, on smoking cessation.
Yep.
I am an ex-smoker myself, so I get it. And Many of my friends who were the first clients of mine were also smokers and wanted to quit. So that was kind of where I started with, and just having a basic idea of how that session would, you know, how that series of sessions would go. I would do three sessions, like I said, that allowed me to start to get some practice under my belt and like, oh, this actually does work. It's not just in class that it works. This is working in real life with people. And for me, one of the most interesting things is just how different it is for everyone, and really how different everyone is. Mm. I'm fascinated by how people's minds work. And some clients that I think are going to be, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. It's not a piece of cake. And the ones that you think, oh, this might be a little bit challenging,
sometimes they're the easiest ones.
They just flow through it. Yeah. And, so did I do anything else? I just kind of had these three sessions that I started with, and I'd go from there. It helped me a lot to have a series, like to know, well, here's one of my usual first sessions going to be the second session and third session. There was kind of I had a pretty solid idea of exactly what I would do. I would do the same thing basically with everybody, at least probably for the first year that I was working with people. That's what I did.
I know inevitably you mentioned before that some people respond really well. Some people that you think are going to be great sometimes struggle to respond well, inevitably, because, you know, we're all complex human beings. So you're going to have a very different reaction. Early on, how did you respond to those sorts of clients that perhaps weren't getting the outcomes that they were anticipating? Did that have much of an impact on you?
It would have an impact on me internally, but one of the things that my mentor always told me was, people want a cheerleader more than anything else. And they want to know that you believe in them and that you're on their side. And so that's what I would do, is I would just be very confident and would find the tiniest way, the tiniest success that they're having, which would help them frame in their own mind that they're having success, which that alone would help them move forward. So I always trying to be optimistic and positive and guide them to kind of getting their own mindset in the right place. Because that's what a lot of it is. It's just...
You make me think of Troy McClure. And he's like, get smart, stupid. Less Troy McClure. What about you? When you reflect back over your careers now, or career as a hypnotist, are there any particular experiences or clients that you had in the past that you identify as being milestone ones for you? Those sort of clients that you reflect back on and think, oh, yeah, they were a bit of a challenge for this reason, or, oh, they were so great because of this reason. You know, what ones stand out to you?
The one that sticks out to me was the challenge one. And this was a really important lesson in being in charge of your session. Mm-hmm. And it was a client that he came to me because he had, this is all the wrong things that you should never do, but he came to me because he believed that he had been abused and he wanted to uncover the memory.
Yeah.
And I told him, we are not going to do this. We're not going to uncover your memory. What I'll help you do is let go of whatever the feelings are there, and you can leave this in the past. And he's like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And from the moment I took him into hypnosis, he did his own regression and took himself right to the place where he wanted to go.
So determined, wasn't he?
Relive it in all of its details. And it was, at one point, I just remember just kind of like sitting back, like, well, this is like watching a movie. It's clearly not real. Like, he clearly has some kind of agenda here. And eventually I got him out of it. Like, we're done. And sent him on his way, but you know, he even tried to come back and do more sessions, but I wouldn't see him after that because he had kind of broken all the rules that I had laid down. But I had let him do that as well. Like, I could have stopped it sooner than I did. I just learned a lot about, I'm the one in control. Clearly we're working together and I don't have to control you, but you have to be willing to follow my suggestions or instructions, because that's the whole point of this. And that was a hard lesson. Like, that really affected me for a while and affected myself. There was a lot of self-doubt related to that one for sure. But
how much did that impact on your pre-talk afterwards? Because I know, many hypnotists would say that the pre-talk is one of the most important parts of the session. Did that have terribly much impact there, or was it just more that from the moment they come in, here are the rules and this is how we're going to do it?
I think, what's interesting is I don't do much of a pre-talk anymore. Mm-hmm. My pre-talk is, I pretty much say, a lot of people that come in for hypnosis sessions have some expectations about what it's going to be like. And you're probably wrong. So whatever expectations you have, just let them go. And I tell them how it might feel, mm-hmm. and that it might feel like that, or it might feel different. Just let this be what it is. I don't really give them a lot as far as a pre-talk anymore. We just kind of get right into the work and they get to have the experience. And I haven't really seen any difference in like that, or like my mentor, for instance, he would spend the first session essentially was this long, because I went to him as a session for myself and he was trying to convince me of what I didn't need convincing, but he wanted to go through his pre-talk, and it was like an hour and a half of his pre-talk, and
excessive. Yeah,
it was a little excessive, but he did like to talk. So
I can remember looking at various different pre-talks at one point there, and coming across the legendary Gerald Kynes pre-talk, and that was something like 3 pages long. And I remember thinking, I don't want to sit there trying to memorize 3 pages of things to say back to people. So I'm a bit like you nowadays in the sense that my pre-talk can be very brief, but still just to try to acknowledge what it is that the expectation is that the client's coming in with.
Yeah.
So I still think it's valuable there. Yeah. In terms of, anyone who's starting out as a hypnotist now, what kind of advice would you give to them in order to help them find out who they are as a hypnotist?
Well, the biggest thing is to see clients and just start sitting down with anybody who will sit down with you. My mentor gave me this great idea of getting a zero gravity chair, like what you would use outdoors. And I kept it in the back of my car. And anytime I ran across somebody who wanted to do hypnosis, I'd whip out that chair and bring it in their house and we'd do a session. And I also had a colleague that we were training together. So he and I would practice with each other sometimes. And you have to do it to really internalize it and get it. So as much as you can, do the practice with people. That would be my advice.
How much do you find now, because you mentioned before that when you started, you had 3 sessions and that first session was always the same structure. Do you still work from that nowadays, or has that evolved for you over time?
I do different packages of sessions. So I do some shorter term, but a shorter term is 5 or 6 for me now. Mm-hmm. And longer term can be as many as like 24. So it just kind of depends on what someone's goals are and how they want to approach it. So I work with a lot of people that are changing a lot of areas of their life. And so they tend to like to do a little bit more longer term and kind of get feedback, as I like to think of it, feedback from the universe that lets us know where to go next. But to answer your question, my first session, I do have a structure that it can be, that it is most of the time, like my ideal first session, but it doesn't always end up being like that. And that's going to depend on the person. And that's different than what it used to be.
I was just thinking then, listening to what you said, and the fact that you sometimes do up to 24 sessions with a client, which is amazing. You know, if I think about some of the trainings nowadays, a lot of the people that start out tend to have almost this sense of wanting to try to fix the problem within a session. And if they don't have their client get a change within a session or two sessions, you can see them starting to freak out and jumping onto the different Facebook forums and going, my client won't do this. What am I doing wrong? Whereas if we were to suggest to them that maybe even just to span out a bit more, maybe there's more work to be done in that, it could be beneficial for both them and their client. How did you when did you start doing those kind of longer 24 session clients? And what was it that kind of gave you that sense of, yes, this is the right amount for them, as opposed to, why isn't this happening faster? I don't know if that question makes sense or not.
Yeah, well, I think what you're asking is, well, how did I start going down this path of longer term clients?
Than you're saying it's so much better than me, Joshua.
Well, most of my clients are doing a 6-session package or a 12-session package. That's pretty typical. But I do have some that like to do that longer term. And that's going to just depend on the person. I have one client that I saw her for, we did 12 sessions. She's like, I want to do more. So we did 12 more sessions. And during that time, I also did a group class that was kind of focused on like all the basics that you can do to have your life really rocking. I just gave that to her. So she jumped into that. So she's done like 36 different sessions with me and had pretty, turned her life around. Going from a freelancer who was hardly able to, she's a writer and she could hardly even get a single article done that was under, she had deadlines and she was missing her deadlines all the time. Her life was kind of falling apart. She's had gained a lot of weight and just felt really bad about herself, really, was how it kind of came down to. And had seen a lot of therapists and had kind of felt like they had given up on her. So in the review that she gave me, that's the thing that really sticks in my mind that I'm really feel heartful about, that she knew that I wasn't going to give up on her. And that was what she needed. Like I said, my mentor said they need a cheerleader. They need somebody to tell them that they're enough and they're going to get through this. And that's what she needed. I kind of think of it like, and we've probably all heard this, that the issue is never the issue.
Yeah.
A client comes to you with their issue, and that's like the outside layer of the onion. And so we peel that layer off. But there's more layers inside of there. There's a lot of layers. There's a lot of ways you could benefit from using hypnosis to better yourself or become even better at what you're already good at. So that I kind of look at it that way. So we start by eliminating the problems or the issues or the challenges, and then we help you get better at what you're already good at.
Yeah. Your niche area is self-sabotage. How did you come across that niche? Well, you mentioned stop smoking at the start there as being the first one. And as with many people, they kind of evolve as they go along. But how did you come to land at this one that you're at now?
From seeing clients and just, getting in front of a lot of people. One of the things that I do that gets me in front of a lot of clients is I go to a lot of networking events. I'm part of multiple networking organizations. I speak in front of them and take part in them as much as I can. And they tend to be entrepreneurs, small business owners, freelancers, creatives, artists, that kind of person. Mm-hmm. And because I have that kind of a background, it's kind of a natural fit for me. And I've also been in the corporate world. So I've been through all of that and I know what it's like to want to get out of the corporate world or to want to rise up in the corporate world. Mm. So what I found was most of them they often talk about it. They're sabotaging themselves. They're getting in their own way. So some of it is just using their words. But the truth is what we're doing is helping them get past an anxiety for one thing. Like that's one of the top things that they come for is they're feeling anxious or nervous or worried about something related to their business, or they procrastinate. That's a big one. They don't do what they want to do, or a fear or a phobia is stopping them from getting to the success that they know they could get to if this wasn't there. So those are kind of the top three self-sabotaging habits or beliefs or behaviors that I tend to work with people to get past. Mm.
And do you see this as being one that you'll stick with for a while, or have you already got your vision set on where that might evolve into next? Where do you see yourself going as a hypnotist?
I see it kind of sticking here for now, for the time being. I'm still working on figuring out what group programs are like and how to effectively do that. Mm. I also love, because I have that performance background, I love getting in front of people. I love doing trainings for companies that are fun and inspirational and kind of have that little bit of magic that hypnosis has. And I don't know how I'm going to do this, but these sideshow acts, there's something about them that is also inspirational and empowering. So I don't know how I'm going to do that, but I'd love to figure out a way to kind of merge.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be? I want to figure out how to merge these things together somehow.
I'm kind of getting a sense of it, and I would want to see that. Yeah. I'd be terrified seeing people kind of
participate in it, because it would be a participatory thing.
It sounds like it would be incredible. I think you need to really workshop that idea a little bit more. Absolutely. Are you back to seeing people face to face? Are you solely online? How's that experience been for you?
I'm probably about 2/3 face to face right now. Most of my clients are local to the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I always give them the option, and they almost always would rather come into the office. So right now, you know, barring any unforeseen difficulties, I will be continuing to see clients a couple days a week in person. And then 3 days a week, I have online clients, and I do all my, my consultations are all done online. So my consultations are done online, and I do, like I said, I don't know, a handful of online sessions as well. This is kind of two really full days of in-person client work.
It can be. Is today an in-client one for you? Because I know that we mentioned before we started.
Today was one of them, yeah.
I'm the end of a very long day.
Beginning of a day for you.
We're about lunchtime at the moment. So it's getting there. It's getting there. If people wanted to get in touch with you and reach out and say hello and perhaps explore what you have to offer a little bit more, how can they do that?
I'm on all of the social medias, and you can find me using my username, which is at Joshua Ray Peters, and that's R-E-Y. So that's one way to get in touch with me. And I love connecting with people. And, you know, I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook and all these different places. You can also find me on my website. And my website is thexfactorcoach.com.
Great. Joshua, thank you so much for your time today and for joining us on the podcast. I'm hoping people have heard your story and have taken some inspiration from that in terms of getting some advice on how to refine who they are as a hypnotherapist a little bit more.
Thanks, Lawrence. I appreciate you having me on, and I'll be overjoyed to be a part of somebody finding who they are as a hypnotist.
Excellent. Everyone watching, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Hey, thanks again for watching the Confident Hypnotherapist podcast. If you're on Facebook, why not come find us at the Hypnotherapist Networking Group? It's a group that was set up essentially to help continue to develop our skills and to build confidence as a hypnotist or hypnotherapist. So if you're on Facebook, search Hypnotherapist Network Group, come and join us. Look forward to seeing you there. Take care.